Mark chapter 1, Jesus began his ministry. We saw the launching of it last week. He began his ministry after he had been publicly identified in verses 9 through 11 at his baptism. The triune God. Father spoke from heaven, the Spirit came, descended on him, and Jesus was publicly identified. Then he was privately tested. And then he came, verse 14, after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel. He came preaching the gospel of God. And I would just remind you that every one of us can and should do the same. I'm not saying we're all preachers. I'm saying we can all proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And when we do, we're not only being obedient to him, but we're following in his footsteps. And that is a high calling indeed, to think of it that way, that he was actually here proclaiming the gospel. And verse 15, calling on people to repent and believe. And that's where we left off. And I mentioned that all real gospel proclamation involves repentance and faith. Repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ is the way Paul summarized his ministry. Repent and believe, Jesus said. And tonight, we want to look at the call of four disciples, two sets of brothers. Verse 16. As he was going along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And they immediately left the nets and followed him. Going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went away to follow him. I want to just underline three things for us. The call to repent, to repent and believe is a call to follow Jesus Christ. That's the first thing. Secondly, I want us to note who his followers were, these first four that he called. And then thirdly, we're going to underline the fact that to follow Jesus is to be involved in evangelism. Let's take a look at that. First of all, the call to repent and believe. When Jesus said, repent and believe, he was calling on men and women, all of us, to follow him. I think Mark puts this scene right here, right on the tail of verse 15, right at the beginning of his gospel, to underline that truth for us. And I want you to note the simplicity of his call. Look at verse 17. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me. To repent and believe is to follow Christ. It's to break with the old life. It's to start a whole new life. In fact, it's to start a whole new way of life. It's to break with the old way of life. A couple of verses come to my mind. Turn over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Peter, who was one of those called later in his life. And you think back to when you're first called to follow Jesus and then the privilege of calling others to follow him. And late in Peter's life, he wrote in verse 18 of chapter 1 of 1 Peter, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things, like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers." When Christ redeemed us, he called us out of a futile way of life. That's a very pointed description of life without Christ. It's a futile way of life inherited from our forefathers. And when you're called to follow Christ, you leave that futile way of life behind. Look over at chapter 4. Peter says it again. Over in chapter 4, verse 3, he says, "The time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousals, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. And in all this, they're surprised that you don't run with them into the same excess of dissipation, and they malign you. But they shall give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead." Now, to follow Jesus is to turn away from the old way of life. It's to turn to a whole new life. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. And it's to gain a whole new way of life. The old way of life was futile. He says, now we have a new way of life. And I would just, you could look at many, many passages in the Scripture, but the one I would draw your attention to is so simple, we can just think about it. In Ephesians 5, remember he said, "You were darkness, now you are light in the Lord. Walk in the light. Walk as children of light." When you come to Christ, you come out of darkness into light, and immediately he calls us to walk in the light. So to follow Jesus is the opposite of following the world. It's the opposite of following the crowd. It's to swim upstream. If you come to Christ and seek to just kind of go with the flow is going downstream. We're to swim upstream, so to speak, and to follow him. He puts it right at the beginning of the gospel because it means to go against the tide of this world, not with the tide of this world. And it is to swim upstream. It is not always a change of vocation, like it was for these guys. But it will always be a change of what really counts in life. Now I want you to just look at a few verses with me. Turn over to John 12, because this is so central to what he calls us to. Jesus Christ is seeking followers. John 12, verse 26. "If anyone serves me," he says, "let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant also will be. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." If you're going to serve me, he says, follow me. He says over in John 10, look at John 10, verse 27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Now, he's developed that in that whole chapter, and glance back at verse 4. He says, "When the shepherd goes out of the sheepfold, he puts forth all his own. He goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice." He says, "My sheep hear my voice, they know my voice, and they follow me." And he gave a picture of a shepherd going out and calling his sheep, and the sheep just following the shepherd. And that's what Jesus calls us to when he calls us to himself. It is a following of him. He says, "I'm seeking that kind of thing." Look back at John 8. So many of Jesus' claims and statements are surrounded with this truth. John 8, verse 12. "Again, Jesus therefore spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." You see, to come to Christ is not merely to adopt a set of theological beliefs. And it will involve that. But it is to follow, it's to come to follow a person. And ultimately, the great call of the gospel is to follow him walking in the light. He is the light of the world, and when we follow him, we will walk in light. We will follow him in holiness. We will follow, ultimately, the only followable one. Anyone else you follow will sooner or later lead you astray. But when you follow Jesus Christ, you can be sure he will never lead you astray. And in fact, then, as we follow him, we become followable. That's how Paul could say, imitate me, just as I do Christ. But, follower has kind of a bad connotation in many of our minds. But it is the essence of spiritual leadership. To be a spiritual leader, you must be a good follower. To follow the only really followable one, and then you become followable. Jesus didn't call us to merely say we'd follow him, but to follow him. Look over at Luke 9. Look over at Luke 9. It's interesting to watch these three different ones who Jesus came into contact with in the end of Luke 9. Verse 57. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And then he said to another, follow me. But he said, permit me first to go and bury my father. But he said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. And another also said, I will follow you, Lord. But first, permit me to say goodbye to those at home. But Jesus said to him, no one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. It's interesting that three people that he came into contact with there, it looks as if none of them followed him. He called the middle one too. He said, follow me. But the other two guys came up and volunteered and said, I'll follow you. But he knew their heart, and he knew that they maybe didn't realize what they were saying. And so I underline it. To follow Jesus, the call that he gives us is not to say that we'll follow him, but to follow him. And two of the three said, I'll follow you. But the implication is that they're not going to, as Jesus gives them almost a stiff answer in response to their saying that they will follow him. Now this call is continual and lifelong. Just like we said last week that repentance and belief are initial in the sense that when you come to Christ, you repent of your sin and you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith. But the Christian life is a lifelong process of deepening that repentance. And as we grow, we hate sin all the more. And we grow in our repentance. We keep repenting. And you come to Christ by faith initially, but there's call after call in the Christian life to believe and to grow in your faith. Well, the same is true in this matter of following him. Perhaps I could illustrate by looking at Peter's life. He is called right now, chapter 1 of Mark, follow me, and he does. But turn over to the end of Jesus' life, John 21. When Peter, once again, at the end, has been re-established in ministry. He, after his denial, the Lord restores him to a place of blessing, and told him, you know, verse 18, truly, truly, I say to you, Peter, he's talking to Peter in front of the other guys, he's just commissioned him that if you love me, feed my sheep. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished, but when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go. Now, we think, what does that mean? Well, just read on. This he said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And tradition tells us that that verse was describing, as you can see, him being stretched out and girded on a cross, and that he was crucified. And tradition tells us that he requested to be crucified upside down, because he didn't feel worthy of dying the way his Lord died. But either way, Jesus called him to follow me. Notice verse 19. When he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. This call to follow Jesus might indeed involve suffering. In fact, Peter saw it at the beginning of his life. He was called to follow. At the end, right before Jesus left, he said, Peter, follow me. And at the end of Peter's life, turn over to 1 Peter again, he reminds us that indeed this call is a call that will involve suffering. Verse 21 of chapter 2, you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. When he says, follow me, he's headed. He has just been through the cross, and he knows that they're going to be headed right into a life of suffering. And in fact, the Bible teaches that all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will endure persecution. And Peter knew about that. The people he was writing to did. And today we need to be reminded that the call to follow Jesus is a call to suffering. Now, I say it's lifelong, it's continual. It is also personal. Turn back to John 21. I don't want us to miss this. It's personal. It's individual. And what I mean by this is, the old song says, though no one join me, still I will follow. And I challenge you tonight that following Christ isn't a group thing. Oh, we gain great encouragement from one another. And we need one another. And he says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And it's encouraging when we gather like this and we sit under the word and we lift our voices in praise. But ultimately, to follow Jesus Christ is a personal call to each one of us. And we don't follow him just because others are. We follow him because he called us to. And Peter, so often, just in his humanness, he gives us insight into things because the Lord has to deal with Peter and how often he has to deal with us like this. So at the end of Jesus' life, when he said, verse 19, John 21, he said he told him what kind of death he was going to die to glorify God. And then he said, now, Peter, follow me. Well, Peter, verse 20, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, John, who never names himself, the one who'd also leaned back on his breast at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter, therefore, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? You tell me I'm going to have to die for you, and then you tell me to follow you. Well, what about John? Is John going to have to die? What about John? Jesus said to him, if I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Boy, that's a key principle of walking with Christ. Don't live a life that's governed by how others are doing it. Follow Christ. Well, other Christians are saying, it doesn't matter what other Christians are saying at a certain point. It's not that we shouldn't listen to one another, don't misunderstand me. But we don't just follow what other Christians are saying today. Other Christians are doing this and that. What is that to you? You follow me. And there's a freedom in that. There's a joy in that. We need not let our following of Jesus be watered down to the level of, the mediocrity that often surrounds us. We can follow him, and we should follow him personally and individually. And, Paul put his finger on this at the end of his life. Turn over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. You see this principle, as Paul was one who learned this principle, to follow Jesus. He called others to follow him as he was following Jesus. And of course, the call is always to follow Jesus. But Paul could actually say, as he did in Corinthians 11:1, be imitators of me as I imitate him, as I follow him, as I learn from him, you learn from me. But as he writes his last letter, he challenges Timothy. And the whole little letter has this theme going that there will be tough times. But look at verse 10 of chapter 3. But you, Timothy, followed my teaching, my conduct, my purpose, my faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, suffering, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Others maybe didn't. In fact, look at the context, chapter 3, verse 1. Realize that in the last days, difficult times will come. Men, professing Christians, will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant. They will not make further progress, verse 9. For their folly will be obvious to all, as also that of those two came to be. But you, Timothy, follow. You did follow. And then he says, verse 14, but you, however, in both cases, sude, they may not, but you follow. Look over at chapter 4. Verse 3, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Wanting to have their ears tickled, they'll accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. We live in a day when many people really don't want to hear truth. They'd rather hear something that's pleasant and uplifting, so they say. And so they're turning their ears away from truth and listening to myths. But you, Timothy, look at verse 5. But you be sober in all things. So Paul underlined this in his last letter, much like Jesus did when he said, what is that to you, Peter? You follow me. And when I say that, and when Jesus said that, he's underlining that Christian growth, Christian experience, Christian relationship is personal. I oftentimes tell young couples before I marry them, as beautiful as it is that two become one, yet you must nurture that individual relationship with Christ first and foremost. And your two becoming one in Christ will be all the sweeter and more beautiful. But your relationship with Christ, even shared with that most intimate of relationships, marriage, is still individual. And you must feed your heart and your soul with Christ and spend time with Him. In other words, you must follow Him individually. And so sanctification is an individual process, even though we encourage one another and should. Now, when I say that, I'm not at all saying that we do so in a haughty, self-righteous, holier-than-thou way. But don't take your cues from just all those around you. What is that to you, Jesus said? You follow me. Now this call also, look back at our text now, Mark 1. This call to follow me also involves leaving. Verse 18, after he called Simon and Andrew to follow him, they immediately, verse 18, left their nets and followed him. They left their livelihood. And then he called James and John to follow him, and immediately they, look at verse 20, left their father. To follow Jesus Christ is to leave everything else behind, ultimately. And as I said, he's not going to call each of us to leave our vocation, but he calls for, he demands, and he deserves our utmost allegiance. And so the picture Mark gives right at the beginning was these fishermen leaving their nets, the next set of brothers leaving their father and following him. Luke puts it as a principle, or I should say Jesus does in Luke. Look over at Luke 14. Luke 14, verse 26, Jesus said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me, and the language there is very similar. You could translate it, follow after me. Very similar to Mark's, Jesus' language in Mark. Who does not come after me cannot be my disciple. Now, none of this is to imply that we are saved by our following. We're saved as sinners by His grace. None of this is to imply that we have the strength or ability on our own to follow Him. In our own self, we are prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. None of this is to imply that we can follow Him fully or perfectly as we ought to. We all stumble in many ways. And this side of heaven, we will never be the followers that we should be. But it is to teach us something very significant right at the beginning of the gospel. And that is this: to accept Christ. That's language we use today. To receive the Lord. That's language we use today. To believe in Him. That's language we use. And many of these terms are in the Bible. But the lingo of conversion, to come to Christ, is to abandon trust in ourselves. It's to cast ourselves on His grace. It's to believe what He did for us at the cross. And it is to cast ourselves fully on His work. But it is integrally related to then beginning a lifetime of learning the process of following Him. I was with a pastor I'd never been with before in a setting a couple weeks ago. And I was listening to him, and I noticed that he habitually was calling believers or Christians Christ followers. And I didn't comment to him on it, but it hit me. Two or three different times when I would have expected him to say believers or Christians or whatever, he said Christ follower. And it was just jarring enough to me, in a good sense, to remind me that that's what a Christian is. It's a follower of the Lord. Come, follow me. That's His call. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And He will never lead you astray. You follow anyone or anything else, and I guarantee you that sooner or later you'll be led astray. But He says, come, follow me, and you can do so with perfect abandonment. Now, next time, Lord willing, I want to look at who He called to follow Him. And He didn't call them from the Sanhedrin. He called them from the fishing docks, basically. It's interesting. Oh, He called some guys from the Sanhedrin. We'll look at that too. But not many mighty, not many noble. He chose the weak things of the world to shame the foolish things, or the strong things of this world. And we're going to look at this great principle that to follow me expands very quickly into becoming a fisher of men. To follow Christ is a call to evangelism. Oh, follow Him this week. Follow Him the rest of your life. You will never regret being a follower of Jesus Christ. There's no higher calling. There is no greater privilege. There is no more fulfilling life than following Jesus. Wherever you're at in life, don't look back with a bunch of regret if you haven't been following Him. Just forget what lies behind and start tonight to follow Him.